What's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to the Thrive After Sports podcast. Just a quick intro today, 60 seconds or less. This is an interview with my man, Keith Sconyers. He interviewed me on his podcast, Purpose. Check it out. All the links to check out his website and his podcast are in the show notes. Keith has been a guest on the Thrive After Sports podcast before. He was actually on Athlete to Entrepreneur 7. So if you go back to episode 111 on this podcast, or just look for the title, Athlete to Entrepreneur 7, Keith Sconyers was the second panelist. He brought down the house. He gave a phenomenal presentation, not just an interview, but he did a presentation also. So I want to encourage you guys to go check that out. Check out Keith's podcast. Like I said, the show notes are, or his links are in the show notes. I'm struggling today, y'all. I'm struggling. Keith is a great dude. He has a really cool business, multiple businesses, and we always have a great time when we get together. I think that'll, you'll hear that when you listen to the episode. Yeah, check it out. Hope you guys enjoy it. Go show Keith some love, and make sure you join the Thrive After Sports Collaborative. See you on the inside. All those links are in the show notes as well. Love you guys. Peace.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Purpose, where we have real conversations with real people who have and continue to overcome adversity to live their purpose. In today's episode, I talk with Taj Deshan, the founder of Thrive After Sports, a coaching company focused on helping athletes truly thrive in their life after sports. In our conversation, I talk with Taj about his journey as an athlete and how his life experiences, both wins and losses, inspired him to help athletes find their way after sports. I initially wanted to have Taj on the Athlete's Journey podcast, but chose to host him on Purpose first because I want everyone to know about Taj Deshan and his purpose. So with that, I'm excited to introduce you. Taj, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. It's great to see you. Thank you for having me. Anytime we link up, man, it's always a good time. So I've been looking forward to this one.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like it's, man, how long have we known each other? Has it been 5 years now, if not longer?
I believe we met at the tail end of 2020. Mm-hmm. It seems like I've known you longer, but we're a little over 3 years or coming up on 3 years. I was telling you before we started recording that I was watching back the Athlete Entrepreneur panel that you like shut the house down, gave a phenomenal presentation. And that's crazy to think that that was probably over 2 years ago that we did
that. Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. That was a long time ago. And I remember being just super excited, not because it was just like an opportunity to be on a podcast or be on your platform, but because of who you are, I was excited. Because I remember when I don't know what I was doing. I was on Google and I was Googling like athletes in transition or something like that. And like one of your YouTube videos popped up and I saw this bald headed dude with a beard who was younger than me, but like literally every word you were speaking, like I felt like deep down in my soul, you know what I mean? And so like, here's his brother. He's like he is first class amazing. So I'm really excited to have you on, just because like from the time before we even met, I was like, I love what this person is, stands for, what he's up to, and I just want to support in any way that I can. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, what your background is, and kind of what your path has been like for the past like 10 years?
Yeah, the past 10 years, it's crazy to think I graduated from college 10 years ago at this point. But leading up to that, you know, grew up playing football, grew up in Southern California, born in Pasadena, you know, raised just outside of LA. And I wanted to go to a Pac-12 school, right? And I wasn't highly recruited. So automatically I went into college. I played football at Stony Brook University. Okay. I always tell people it's still D1, but you know, D1 AA program out there on Long Island. I went into it because I was like, oh, for sure, I'm going to a Pac-12 school. I went into it like, man, I'm going to this school that nobody in California has even heard of. So I already went into college feeling like my self-image was shot, you know? Oh, man. Then I go into a situation where I'm not getting the playing time that I thought I was going to get. And I know that's, I remember your story, like, you know what that does to you mentally. Yeah, like you just checked out. And really, man, sounds dramatic, but I feel like I became a shell of myself, right? And then I go into, okay, didn't go to the school I wanted. Had a pretty shitty career, graduate from college, no professional shot whatsoever. So here I am, a college grad, no type of experience, no idea what I want to do, and just lost. And that led to this period of my life where there was a lot of drinking and, you know, partying, trying to distract myself from what I was going through. And You know, that period for me, I'd say almost in hindsight is crazy. And that's not crazy because I know you and your listeners will get this, but that period was something that was necessary. God or whatever we believe in, whatever you guys believe in, it was necessary for me to go through that so I could help other people with that. I didn't know that at the time, of course. We never do. But long story short, man, after that, you know, I started to pull myself out of that hole by just focusing on improving myself. Even though I didn't know where I was going, I always say, like, any type of action is better than just standing still, even if your action isn't like intentional yet. But that led me down this path of getting into sales and then eventually recruiting and like job development type stuff, which eventually led me to founding Thrive After Sports in late 2017, early 18, with the mission, of course, which I know you're on a very similar mission as well. The mission is to help athletes transition and figure out their life's purpose after them playing and doing it in a way that is true to them, not just a place to get a paycheck, but doing something that is meaningful and lights them up the same way that they were lit up when they were playing their sport. I have many different ways of doing that. The podcast, the books, the coaching, speaking, this new community, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but that's who I am. That's my story. And that's what I'm about.
Wow. Wow, man. Thank you for sharing that. When you think about like wanting to go to a Pac-12 school and then Stony Brook being presented as an opportunity, like what was going through your head during that period of time? And what was going through your head at that time? And then like, what were some of the points in college where you really like checked out? Like, do you remember anything about kind of the journey there?
At a certain level, I was grateful that I even had a scholarship on the table, because at one point I was fearful that that wouldn't even happen. I remember I got one offer my junior year, and it was from University of Minnesota. And I'm like, cool, that's you know, it's a Big Ten school, that's awesome. And then a new coach came in and that offer was pulled, so I was like, I'm going into my senior year with no offers. Then I had some other schools come along. It was always like a yeah, but there was always like a caveat. It wasn't like an outright offer, meaning like Air Force was recruiting me, right? But they wanted me to go to a prep school because obviously the academic requirements are a lot higher, even though I had like a 3.0. It was like, hey, we need to send you to prep school first. Wow. Same thing with Cornell. I got an offer from Cornell, an Ivy League school. They were like, we want you, but a 3.0 to get into Cornell, we're going to have to send you to a prep. And it was all these things. And then Stony Brook came along and it was like, okay, we want you outright. We think you can start. You'll be a big, they actually say you'll be a big fish in a small pond. Right. So when I went to, and to answer your second question, I started to check out when, like, I was actually on a great track to be able to start. I redshirted my first year. The next year I was pretty much on track to be the starter. Hofstra, another program on Long Island, actually canceled their, or cut their football program. All the superstar players from Hofstra came to Stony Brook, were immediately giving starting positions. So, and that was pretty much, you know, then the next year we won the championship, and then that brought a lot more players who wanted to drop down from the 1A level. So I was never given a shot my entire career. And I was always, you know, once again, hindsight is 2020. I really enjoyed my experience out there. I have teammates and that are friends for life. But I was so bitter towards the coaches for not giving me a shot. And I was like, I would go out of my way to be disrespectful to the coaches after a certain point. But yeah, man, that was, it was rough, as you know.
I mean, I 100% connect to that, because I remember somebody got recruited, and here comes this big 6'10" dude who transferred from the UW named Anthony Washington. He's my friend, but I was like, I can't compete with this. Like, rightfully so. You know what I mean? I'm 6'6", 235, 240, like incredibly athletic, but like, we the same body build. He's just 6'10". Right. He's a monster, right? I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, no, I definitely understand. It's just like, man, like they brought you in, told you're going to be big fish in a small pond, and here it is. Like, it's completely different, right? It's like the whole recruiting process, right? So what was your transition like after that? So you obviously stayed there, stuck it out, graduated. Like, what was your mindset when you left college, and how did it devolve into like some of the behavior that you were talking about?
Yeah, my mindset was, I was nervous about it because I was like, I got a basket weaving major, right? It was multidisciplinary studies, like just one of those stay eligible majors. So I didn't know what I was going to do with it. So I came home and I was like, all right, there was a little bit of fear because I'm like, I have no idea what I want to do, but everything's always worked out for me in terms of like, you know how it is when you're good at a sport. Sometimes things are just handed to you or people come to you with opportunities.
Yeah.
And it was crickets, right? When I got back home, just like nothing was happening. And so I started to get worried. I knew that I didn't want to go work kind of like a corporate office job. Mm-hmm. So what I actually did before I got my first job was I was trying to, you know, I lived close to LA and Hollywood at the time. So I was doing internships in the music industry. Like, I'm like, I was making beats. That's a long story. I won't get into it, but I was making beats in college. Okay. We would play them in the locker room and play them at parties and stuff like that. And I was like, well, I live close enough to LA. If I get an internship in the music industry, I can start making music, you know, make those connections. And even though I was making progress, I had a real talk with myself where I was like, I'm not willing to be broke for the next 5, 10 years or longer to try to make it in the music industry. Yeah. I liked it, but not that much. And what was more important to me at the time was like, I need to get some money so I can move out of my folks' house and get back on my own 2 feet as a man.
Yeah.
So, you know, but anyway, that's what kind of led me into this place of like, okay, I'm not pursuing music. I'm not pursuing anything I am enjoying. I'm just trying to get a job and make some money, which, as you know, that's not very sustainable if money is the only thing you're going after.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It'd be very unsustainable and disheartening on a whole nother level, just because it's just like, it's not even what you want to do. And then half the time the money's not really that great. And then, you know, it's just kind of downhill from there. So were your folks prodding you or pushing you like towards anything, or did you have a mentor during that period of time?
Definitely didn't have a mentor, and I wasn't seeking mentors out. So that's another thing. That's another area where I didn't start doing that until much, much later. Mm-hmm. My parents were, number one, I'm grateful that they just let me move back home after college. Most people don't have that. You know how it is, especially in Black family.
Right,
hey,
right,
you're 18,
right.
you're on your own now. Right. Even though I paid my own way through school with a scholarship, right? But they were very welcoming. But I think at a certain point, they were kind of like, all right, you've been home for like 18 months now and you have nothing going except an unpaid internship and you're in your room making beats all day. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of that pressure started to come in. But honestly, before they were putting pressure on me, I was putting pressure on myself, you know? But that's when I started, like, I cut out all the drinking and all the things that were detrimental to me. And I was like, let me just focus on, even though I don't know what I want to do, let me try to put myself into some sort of motion and try to get something. And I know that sales jobs are always hiring.
Yep.
What I've been told. So got a sales job, made some money, but once again was miserable. Then I started looking at, I was at work one day and I Googled easy jobs to pivot into outside of sales. And then recruiting came up, and that's what kind of led me down this path of, huh, that's interesting. I can still make commission, but I can also help people, like put food on the table for their families. That led me to like all these career services jobs and job development type stuff. So I was starting to find my lane of like helping people more so with their trajectory while I was still figuring out mine, you know?
And was that something that was like when you pivoted into that, like, what was that like? Was that fulfilling? Is that what kind of took you down this path to thrive after sports afterwards? Like, I'm going to apply this to the like helping athletes, or like, how did those two things come together?
It was. I was a serial job hopper, first and foremost. Let's get that out the way.
Me too. We should start a group for that. Job Hoppers Anonymous.
I think you said, because when you did the presentation on Athlete to Entrepreneur, I want to say you said you had 17 jobs.
Yeah.
What span of time was that?
11 years.
Okay. Yeah. You got me beat. You definitely got me beat. I'm pretty close. I've been in the working world, so to speak, for about 11 years now. And over that time, I've probably had 10 to 12.
Yeah.
So I'm coming up, you know.
Yeah, I could 17, be the founder of the group. Right?
That's funny. But yeah, man. So I'm sorry, I forgot your question, man. I'm just.
Yeah, no, just like, how did it transition from, you know, you're in the sales job, you jump into recruiting, and then like, how did I'm going to do something to help athletes now.
That's right. That's where I was going with that. So The main two jobs that made me start to have that shift was I was working in career services at the Art Institute in Hollywood.
Okay.
I love that job, man. I was
Yeah.
helping like fashion students, music production, interior. It was so dope, like creative people. And I got to sit down one-on-one with them and just be like, so what are you looking for? How can I help? And then I would go out and try to find them jobs in the area. Super fulfilling work, really enjoyed it. I love my students, the students love me. I won't get into the details, but I had to leave just because of a management situation there. It was started, the micromanaging was too much. And I left, moved to San Diego, where I met my now wife. And when I was in San Diego, I was working at this, it was basically a company that was contracted by San Diego County to help families on welfare and basically to break the cycle of welfare and help them get job ready. So once again, I'm super fulfilling, making good money in my element. I'm training folks to be job ready. Then I'm going out in the community to try to get them opportunities after I had trained them up in these workshops. So the only thing that was missing, fulfillment was there. Money was there. I felt like I was on my path. I was helping people. Only thing that was missing was, man, I'm not built to put on a suit and tie and sit in traffic and be in a cubicle all day.
Yeah.
And I knew, I just like, it was starting to kill me. I was like, I just can't. There has to be something else that I can do where I can have more freedom and flexibility, but have that same impact.
Yeah.
So that's when I started just like, I would go home and I would just think like after work, like, okay, what can I do? I thought about all kinds of stuff. Like maybe I'll be a personal trainer or all these things that were coming to mind that would allow me to serve while also having freedom. Then it hit me. I had a few teammates actually in like the span of 3 months. It was all weird how it happened. Like, guys from all around the country came out to visit me in San Diego because I was living the life. And, you know, I ended up kind of mentoring them while they were there because some of these guys were a few years behind me. And then when they would go back home, wherever they lived, I would do mentor, like coaching calls over the weekends. And then one day the light bulb went off. I was doing research just like you, like athlete transition.
Yeah.
And you know, as well as I do back in like, this was 2016, 2017, when I was doing this research, man, there was nothing going on for athlete transition. No one was even talking about it. Right. So I'm like, boom, that's it. That's my idea.
Yeah.
I started putting myself out there as an athlete transition coach. At first people were like, what is that? But then I started putting out more content, probably some of the same stuff you were coming across, started the podcast, which definitely helped. And then that's when I was like, this is it, man. And you know, it wasn't profitable at first. It's still, you know, I'm by all means not a multimillionaire, but you know, I'm at the point where I'm glad that I stayed consistent with it. And I found that thing that lights me up to where, hey, even though I'm not getting paid off of this right now, you know, I'm willing to continue doing this thing. And sure enough, the more I continue to do it, the more I'm able to find ways to support myself while also serving others, which is what I want for anyone I work with to be able to have too, you know?
Wow. I remember when I called, I called a coaching organization one time and I was like, how do you get into doing like this kind of thing? And so you just start, right? I say, if you want to do something, you start, right? There's not like some person that's going to come down and like tap you and say, hey, go do this. And like, this is how you're going to, you know, provide for yourself. It's kind of like you actually had kind of have to take it on faith, take it on intuition, but also really listening to yourself. Can you share with us a little bit about, it seems like you've had these pivotal points in your life where you've made a decision, right? To stop drinking, to start coaching, to look at, you know, something else. Can you talk to our listeners, whether they're athletes or not, about kind of your approach to tuning in to who you are and kind of the direction you need to go down? Because that seems to be a superpower of yours.
Oh, well, thank you for that, man. It's a high compliment. I know not just athletes are listening, but I'm going to start with an example for athletes and then I'll make it broad for everyone else. I had a mentor tell me one time, he was like, I never stop playing football. I just don't tackle people anymore. And when I heard that, I was like, you know, basically what he's saying is take that athletic mindset and apply it to everyday life. You know, it's film, practice, game, studying yourself, studying other people and being able to constantly get 1% better every single day.
Yeah.
So when I applied that to, I run that filter through any like pivotal moments, like you said, I'm at a crossroads, which way should I go? I think about, and this is where it kind of gets into how this would apply to just non-athletes is, I'm always thinking about and encouraging other people to think about where are you actually going? Because sometimes, and many times in my life, I've been doing all this work and doing all these things, but like, you know, climbing the ladder, but where is the ladder actually going? Is my ladder even leaning up against the right wall? And the way you find that clarity is by thinking about it. Most people don't do it because it's really that simple. Everyone's always looking for what's my purpose and, you know, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Well, how much time have you actually spent to thinking about that and then customizing it? You know, I did a workshop recently where I talked about customizing your lifestyle. That means you come up with all the different non-negotiables that you want to see in your life. And then you start to slowly but surely make incremental steps towards that type of lifestyle while also doing the type of work that you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. So like, just as a quick example, I knew I wanted to serve athletes. There are many different ways to do that. You know, you and I could have been like, okay, I want to work in an athletic department mm-hmm. in player development. Yeah. But there are certain aspects of our life, the freedom, the flexibility, being able to work with athletes all over the world instead of just that one place mm-hmm. that you and I were not wanting to sacrifice. So we both customize our lifestyle to be able to do what we love to do most in a way that's true to us. Mm-hmm. And this is the last thing I'll say. Ultimately, that allows us to better serve people. If you're at a space where you're doing it your way, in a way that you know how to do it best and allows you to be able to tap into your gifts, mm-hmm. that's what the people on the receiving end of your coaching, your service, your business, that's what those people need. They need you showing up as you authentically instead of trying to fit into a nice little neat box. They're only getting a small portion of what it is that you truly have to offer, you know? Yeah. So I went on a tangent. I don't know if I answered your question, but.
Yeah, I think that you pointed out a couple of things. One is if you're lost right now, and you don't feel like you're where you need to be, maybe stop thinking about the feelings of being lost and actually start thinking about like, how do you actually want to live? Like how do you want it to go? What are the non-negotiable things that you want to have in your life or that you want to experience in your life so that you can eventually move as far from where you are right now in terms of the emotions and into something that's powerful, that is customized to who you are, what's important to you, how you're wired, so that as you work, the people that you're now working with are dealing with you at a level that's happy, that's excited, that's in your strength zone, right? And they will get the greatest benefit versus, you know, maybe working with you right now in this frame of mind where you're not at your highest and your best use.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so Absolutely. You're saying, you know, take the time to think about it, but then also take the time to think about like customizing it in such a way to where you'll be happy.
Oh, absolutely. Also, you summed that up a lot more concisely than I said it, but what you said about being lost, that's something that I encourage people to look at it as being in a place of discovery. Mm-hmm. I know it may sound a little cheap. You know where I'm going with this, because I think about times in my life where I was like, man, I'm lost. That's like a very disempowering thing for you to be thinking and for you to hear yourself saying, because it's almost like it kind of removes the hope and the agency that you have over mm-hmm. finding your way.
Yeah,
I tell people you're not lost. You're just in a place of discovery. And not only do you need to know that, but when you're talking to people, because when we're lost or in a place of discovery, we need to try to seek out people who can help us find clarity. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. and you know this as a coach, Keith, like someone comes to you and says, I'm lost. That's almost like they're basically saying they're resigned, right? Yeah. Versus if someone says, hey, I'm trying to discover where I'm going. Can you help me find clarity? It's like, okay, this person is active in their pursuit. And it almost makes you, it's easier to help that person because they're looking at this as a temporary situation. I'm just trying to discover where I'm going and I need help with this, this, and this. Can you help me get there? You know, a lot easier to help that person versus someone who comes to you and says, I'm lost. I just don't know. You know, like it's a mindset thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's more empowering for you and the person that, that you go seek help from. And when you're lost, you're probably more likely to like stay in the house and, you know, eat cereal, mini wheats or something like that, versus like, I'm in discovery. Let me put myself out there into the world and let me go talk to people who know me at the highest level, right? Or maybe go look for some opportunities, or maybe go out and start testing some things and see what, like try some shoes on, like this shoe would fit, this shoe is too narrow, this shoe is too wide, this shoe is ugly, right? Like all those things, right?
This shoe is ugly.
Right, yeah, you know, or does it like, it looks nice on a size 8, but a size 15, it looks horrible. So, right, it doesn't work. For the people that are listening in, like, can you talk about, I think one of the things that I was listening to a friend of mine who's no longer with us yesterday. His birthday was on the 15th. I went back to his Facebook and I listened to a talk that he gave like over and over and over again. Right. And he was talking about in today's world, we tend to have a mindset of like sometimes quitting too soon. And he was talking about like, if you have a choice, stick around a little longer if you can. Sometimes it's hard, but can you talk to us about stick-to-itiveness? I know that building a career in a new industry for you, and that just wasn't a lot of information. It wasn't like you could just pick up like 4, 5, 10, 15 websites and just model your coaching practice after them. Can you talk to us about perseverance?
Yeah, I think starting with having that clarity and intention of why you're doing what you're doing and making it bigger than yourself is what will keep you going during those times where things get tough. Mm-hmm. I like that phrase you use of stick-to-itiveness. I like that, or perseverance, however you want to say it. It's like, if you're only, because anything that you do in life, especially entrepreneurship, or when you're trying to set out or chart a new path, it's going to get tested. And so you get to learn how committed you are to what you're doing through those tests. And there may come times where you're tested and you have to really have a real talk with the person in the mirror and say, okay, am I thinking about giving up just because it's too hard? Or am I thinking about giving up because I actually shouldn't be doing this thing? And having the discernment and knowing it's okay to quit things if you feel like it's not a good fit, but you have to be honest with yourself about why you're giving up on something, right? And the same rules apply for if you're going to pursue something. Like, I'm sure you've had this, Keith, as business owners. Anytime, like, we question a lot of things a lot of time. It would be so much easier to just be like, all right, I'm going to go get a job. I'll just get my check. You know, I don't have to worry about putting out all these fires or trying to constantly get new business and all these different things. And it's a dedication to why you started doing the thing in the first place that will keep you going. That's the best thing I could say about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that is, it's like the ultimate filter, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're thinking about quitting, like you might, it could be a good decision, right? Especially if you started for the wrong reason, right? But if you're doing it for the right reason, then maybe you need to figure out a plan C, right? Which is not quitting, but maybe, you know, maybe you need some capital. Maybe you need to figure out, you know, extending your runway somehow so you have, you know, more time to really work through the discovery process so that you can figure out product market fit or whatever it may be for you. That's super key. Did you have any of those points as a coach in terms of like having people come to you and say, hey, look, I'm thinking about quitting. Like, did you have a process that you took them through to help them find that clarity? Cause you know, it seems like people like yourself, and that can come off a certain way, but it's like, you're very good at, it seems, being very introspective. Right. And I guess, you know, that could be a, you know, something for people that are listening in is like, if you're not good at being introspective, hire somebody like Taj who can come in and help you be introspective. But like, did you have a process that you took people through to help them find clarity if they weren't skilled at figuring it out for themselves?
That's a great point you bring up. I wasn't always introspective, right? Mm. I think you can learn to be more introspective. Mm. You can be taught to be more introspective. Like, for example, one of my favorite sayings is that clarity has to be cultivated, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like just you decide, oh, I want to get clear on this thing and it just happens. Mm. If it were that easy, then, you know, a lot of people would be in much different positions in their lives if it was that easy. But you have to, like, when I'm working with someone who is not self-reflective and is not used to, which a lot of athletes aren't, as you know, because it's just, you're so focused on your sport, you don't have time to sit around and think about like, what do I want to do when I'm done playing, which is half the challenge because you're not thinking about that. So when the time comes, you have no idea, right? And then you enter that discovery stage. But there are a lot of, it's unique to the person, right? I think the first thing that I do is try to attach something emotional to it. Like, what I mean is, I keep coming back to athletes, but anyone can apply this.
Yeah.
For athletes, we're so used to being in the spotlight and being like the hero and the role models. When we don't have that anymore, we feel like no one's looking at us. No one's looking at up to us. Not the case. There are a lot of people who could still learn from your example. And so sometimes another one of my favorite sayings is it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame. Mm-hmm. So if you're at a place where you're like, I'm lost. I don't know what I want to do. I'm trying to find clarity. I don't know how to be introspective. I've tried thinking about things, but I just can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to say, okay, well, who do you want to be for the people around you? Mm-hmm. Right. You're not just living your life for yourself. Like, what about your, if you don't have kids, what about your future family? What about your, you know, you wanted to buy mom a house by going to the league. Who's to say you still can't buy mom a house by doing something in business or with your career? So that's the first step is like, oh, let me take my eyes off of myself and stop thinking about me all the time and look about how I can show up for other people, which usually kind of like moves the needle a little bit and gives you a strong why. And then you can start getting into like, okay, how do I want to do it in a way that's true to me?
Yeah.
That's usually my first step. I like to do that one just to pull on the heartstrings a little bit and get people thinking bigger, you know?
Man, that is key. I think that I can definitely identify with that. Right. I think that when we think about ourselves, we have a tendency to kind of freak out sometimes. Right. It's like, oh, my gosh, like this is not happening or this is not happening or this isn't going the way I want it to go. Or I don't have the money that I thought I was going to have, or I don't have a car. Or I don't have the ability to travel, or right. Like all those things. But in thinking about that, like that self-preservation crisis mode, like you tend to fail. Right. You tend to want to quit. You tend to want to not really put yourself out there. But when you think about, when you say it, you think about it the way that you're talking about it, where it's like, who do I want to be a hero to? Or who do I want to have an impact on? Or who's counting on me? Or who wins when I win? Or who loses when I lose? That kind of a frame of thinking. And it does pull you out of yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, think about, like, man, there's millions of people who would love to be in your position to even be wrestling over the fact that you don't know if it's job A, B, or C that you really want to pursue because they no opportunity. You know what I mean?
That's real, man. I got a guy right now, just on that note, he was upset that he didn't get I'm a shot Juan, if you're listening to this, he got a couple of offers on the table and two of the offers fell through. But he still has all these like top, you know, household names like H&M and Panasonic offers on the table, or like, you know, places he's interviewing, and he's upset because a couple play like, bro, there's people who haven't heard anything back. There's people who don't know how to put a resume together right now. They haven't even started. So that's another, I want to touch on this too, that you like, this is huge. It's a daily thing. Cause you said like thinking about yourself. Every day I have to remind myself, if I get into this little spiral, like, bro, you're just thinking about yourself too much right now. Flat out. Like, take your eyes off of yourself for a minute, because obviously this ain't working. You need to get into another frame of mind so you can start to do what you need to do or focus on what you need to focus on instead of worrying about all this little stuff. It's like, you're too zoomed in. Zoom out a little.
Yeah, right.
I have to do that daily.
Yeah. Like,
and catch myself when I'm doing it, you know?
Yeah. Why do you think we end up in that, down that path?
I think it's just human nature, man. Like, to, you know, it's self-preservation. Mm-hmm. So like you were saying, like, oh, I don't have this amount of money or this amount of, or this car. It's just like, it's just that primitive, you know, monkey mind of, do I have enough to survive is what it ultimately comes down to. Right. And so if you can get past that and realize, okay, I have a roof over my head. I'm not going to be living on the streets anytime soon. I'll be okay. Let me think bigger than just, am I going to survive, you know, this moment, this day?
Right. Right. Yeah. I definitely wrestle with that sometimes. I think that, especially in the day of social media, right? It's like, am I doing this right? Am I doing, like, are there enough women on my podcast, right? Are there enough, like, you know what I mean? Like, all of that stuff, right? That you start to worry about. And you really, it's like, man, like, why don't you worry about the people that you got into business to serve instead of worrying about, like, yourself? Like, there is a piece of you in there, because if you can worry enough about the people that you really want to have an impact on, then that should help you make the decisions that you really need to make. But if you're just worrying, just for the sake of worrying, like, that's not going to produce anything for them or for you other than like less output, less results, less impact. Right. So,
right.
What are you up to now? Like, what are you building now? And who are you, like, I know that athletes are still central to your focus as a professional. So like, what are you doing now? And like, how can we support what you're doing?
Thank you for that question. What I'm doing, I've expanded my coaching outside of athletes because I realize a lot of people need support with clarity and direction. Mm-hmm. So recently, earlier this year, or like going into 2023, I started doing career coaching as well. And that came from, I've just had this epiphany one day, like a lot of people were reaching out to me who listened to my podcast, or, you know, maybe I work with an athlete, but they had a friend or a sibling or something who was like not an athlete. And they're like, hey, can you help me? So I'm like, okay, I think, like you said, this gift of that, I consider that I'm not great at a lot of things, but I am great at helping people find clarity. Yeah. Let me tap into that in a way that is bigger than athletes. So I would say in terms of supporting me in that way, if you are not just an athlete, but anyone who's having trouble finding direction, check out my podcast, send my podcast to some other people, or just reach out for some support. That's the first thing. And then the other thing is this community, man. Like, I built a community for athletes by athletes, and it's a place called the Thrive After Sports Collaborative Community. I'm going to be putting a lot of effort into that, man. It checks a lot of the boxes in terms of things that are important to me, meaning like connecting people. I know you're a connector as well, so you get what I'm talking about. That allows me to have all of my favorite people and new people that I'm meeting under one roof. So I'm not like, okay, let me introduce Keith to this person or this person. It's like, no, everybody's in one place. Makes it so much easier for me to make introductions. Yeah. And then it creates a space where former athletes, people like you and I who have gotten to the other side, are successful in our careers, we can help the athletes coming up behind us. Yeah. You know, and I'm working on some stuff with universities where they're going to be sending their current athletes into the group. Yeah. So that means there's this pool of current athletes coming in there, and people like you and I could be in there supporting them. So it's, that community is something I'm really excited about, man. So you can support me by spreading the word about that community, joining the community, and then getting in there contributing as well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And what inspired you to build a community? I know that you talked a little bit about making it easier to make connections, but like for people and introducing people, but like, what was there anything else that really pulled you forward in terms of building out a platform? Because I've had an opportunity to log in, meet some of the other people that are in there, and see people in there that I already know too, right? That I met through some of the other channels that we're both connected to. But like, what kind of pulled you down this direction?
Yeah, man. Yeah, there's people in there that you introduced me to.
Yeah.
Like Audrey and
there's a few Audrey Gibson, yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Audrey. But what, aside from making the connection, like you already said, it's also thinking about, okay, what did I need? Right. When I think about myself, and that's kind of why I'm going through the universities too, because I think about it, if an academic advisor were to say to me, hey, we have this group from this guy who helps people, you know, figure out what they want to do after they're done playing, and there's a free community you can join. All you got to do is log in. And now I'm in this platform where I have access to other current athletes trying to figure it out, and also people like yourself. Like, I think about if there was a version of you and I who was on this platform wanting to help athletes find clarity, and I'm 22 years old and I could log in and have instant access to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a game changer. So I started thinking more from, how can I have a bigger impact? You know, you can only coach so many people in one day, and I do one-on-one coaching, not group. So that was the first thing, is like, all right, how can I have a bigger impact, and how can I bring in more great people like yourself and like all these other great people we're connected with, and put them in front of, I'm not so arrogant to think that like I'm the answer for all these athletes.
Right.
Some people will be better off working with you than working with me. And that's just the reality of it. So how can I facilitate those relationships? And but yeah, man, that was the idea behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I want to take a step back and talk about books. So you've been able to publish books, a number of books. You've published three?
Coming up on four now. The fourth one will be out later this year. Yeah,
talk to us about that.
Man, I never intended to publish a book. I had a client who I helped. He wanted to get published. This was in 2020, early 2020, and maybe 2019. But anyway, I started asking my network, who do you know who publishes books?
Yeah.
That's when I met Darren.
Yep.
And then that led to me getting the book published for my client. But then that relationship with Darren led to me also publishing my own book, which then led to a situation where we created a partnership where I could leverage the resources of their publishing company to help other people get published.
Yeah.
And then we did these, like my first book is just me. That's the one behind me.
Yeah.
The other three books, Athlete to Entrepreneur, volumes 1 and 2, volume 2 is coming out soon. And then the Six Figure Athlete, those were all collaborative books, myself and 20 other people.
Yeah.
So, you know, that once again, it's just all these different things back to what you said earlier, when you persevere on this path, so many things come to you that you never even intended to do, but just happen to be in line with the mission. You know, so now being able to get more stories of athletes out there in the form of books.
Yeah.
So it's been cool, man.
Yeah. I love it. The book that's coming out, the fourth book, what's that book titled?
That is Athlete to Entrepreneur Volume 2.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So we did, I don't even think there's, because it was myself and like 19 or 20 other authors in the first one.
Yeah.
The second volume 2 is like a totally different set of authors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, you know, a new, I mean, I kind of had to change my, you know, I changed some things up. So it's not the same story that I'm telling. Yeah.
Right.
But I think of it as like, now there's 20 new stories out there. So when athletes get their hands on that book, it's like, okay, it reinforces that you're not alone. And also because as Athlete to Entrepreneur, there's a bunch of tips about how you can go into business and how you can find clarity. And and then like, I look at it like it's a business card, right? Like once again, I go back to me at 22, I get my hands on this book. I can read through those stories. Mm-hmm. All their contact info is at the end of it. So I'm like, oh, I need to reach out to this person and this person and this person. So, but yeah, man, that'll be out. It's in the final stages. It'll be out in the fall sometime.
Yeah.
It's almost ready.
Yeah. I love it. If anybody that's listening has any ideas about writing a book or just wants help, Taj would be a great person for you to tap into, just so he can share just his own experience of writing books and point you in the right direction in that regard. What are some of the like most important, I have a couple questions. One is, you know, if you could go back and talk to Taj when he was leaving high school, like what's your advice that you give him?
When I was leaving high school, I think I would, I'd have to have a talk with him first and foremost about checking your ego. Because you know how, I mean, you get to college and when you're not the best player anymore, that can be a shock at first.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any way I could have prepared Taj for the fact that he wasn't going to be playing when he got to college. He might have been like, what are you talking about? Maybe I'll go to one of the prep schools or something, you know? But yeah, man, I think, okay, so this is what I would say. I would say, because it's crazy because I don't even use my degree. Like I learn so much more outside the classroom about life than, you know how that is.
Yeah.
But I would tell him to just definitely network more while you're still playing, like meet more people who are connected to the school.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of time getting clear on what you want to do. Probably would have changed the major. I would have, you know, actually pushed back and tried to get into a major that could have helped me with something. But it's hard to do that without clarity.
Yeah.
So I would have told him like, look, 4 years is going to go by like this, just like high school went by those 4 years. So really think about what life is going to look like when you're 22. And start to carve out a path for that right now. And then don't feel like you have to do it alone. Like start to connect with other people who are already doing that thing or even people who can help you find clarity. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And then as a entrepreneur, what are some of the key skills or epiphanies you've had or things you've had to learn to continue to grow and be successful? Right. Because nobody goes out, you know, writes 4 books, launches a community, you know, really has contacts. I mean, Taj, you have contacts like all over the world at this point. Right. Nobody does that without having a few epiphanies along the way or picking up some skills along the way. Right. Or even being knocked down along the way, too. Right. So, like, what are some of the key lessons you've learned that you want to pass on to the listeners today that they can apply in their life?
Man, it always comes back to clarity. I know that's crazy, but when I think about the epiphanies that I've had, a lot of it has to do with relationships, meaning like if I would have had more clarity around who I wanted to connect with, because at first I was like, I want to connect with everybody, which is great because you cast a wide net. But I think being clear on finding more relationships that are mutually beneficial, that was a big one. another lesson that I learned is you don't have to do everything alone. You shouldn't even make an attempt to do everything alone, which once again comes back to clarity, because no, you shouldn't do anything alone. But when you're doing something with, you need to be careful about who you're doing things with. So also, man, like another thing that comes to mind right now is doing what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. Some people think it's either or, right? Like I was telling you before we jumped on, over the course of this 5-6 years since starting Thrive After Sports, I've worked part-time jobs and done all kinds of things to make it work, understanding that just because something is not like your full-time thing, that doesn't mean you should give up on it. Like you find ways to pay your bill. If anything, I think that that ultimately ends up serving you and your customers in the long run, because you're not so stressed about money. You take care of the money. I think that's a very honorable thing to do, and more people should do it. Yeah. Like the answer is both. It's not just, oh yeah, follow your dreams, pursue your passion. It's take care of what you need to take care of, which then frees you up to be able to do those other things. So that's a big one too, man.
Wow. You just sparked something in me. And I was talking to a, you know, a couple of entrepreneurs recently, and they're thinking about throwing in the towel or dealing with life and business and stuff like that. And man, what you're talking about is so key when it comes to clarity, right? Because when I started my business, I felt like it was like either or, so I just quit, right? And that caused all kinds of like relational stress, like me, you know, looking at my wife a certain way and her looking at me a certain way, you know what I mean? Because I had made this decision and put myself under all this pressure and all under all this stress, when it could have been like, yeah, you should start a business because you want, you know, like that's really how you're wired, but it doesn't mean that you have to just go cold turkey this way, right? Like you can do like something else on the side to make sure that you don't put too much pressure on the business or put too much pressure on the relationship or put too much pressure on yourself first and foremost, so that you can still be healthy and not, you know, in a bad place. So what you're talking about, I think anybody can apply to their life, but they won't know what decisions to make if they're not taking that time to find the clarity, because the clarity around, you know, who you are, what your core values are, the industry that you want to work in, and then the people that you want to collaborate with. If you don't know what your core values are and you're just collaborating with anybody, then you could put yourself in a situation where it's not, right? It's not fruitful or it's not enjoyable. And you may quit the business because of the challenges, but you really didn't quit the business because of the challenges. You quit the business because there wasn't a core value alignment with the people you were trying to collaborate with in within that business, right? And so the clarity piece that you're talking about is really critical, I think, to all areas of our life. Like 100%, right? Dan, you're talking about college, right? You would have networked a lot more. You would have maybe pursued a different degree. It all came back to clarity.
You just made me think of something when you talk about like putting all that pressure on yourself to start out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I told you this, but when I had the idea for Thrive After Sports, I quit my job because I was at a point where I was fed up and I was miserable at the job anyway. So arguably I did free myself up, but what I should have done is not quit. Cause I was like, this is a brilliant idea. I'm going to be making six figures in no time. I think I made $2,000, probably more like $1,500, between $1,500 and $2,000 in the span of 3 months when I first started out.
Yeah.
That's not even enough to cover rent when I was in Southern California, you know, and my wife, she was, you know, we weren't married at the time, but she was picking up a lot of the slack.
Yeah.
And I put myself in a really, really bad spot because I could have easily gone and found something, even if it was like working at a grocery, anything to like bring some sort of income in, but still have myself free. I was just like, no, I'm gonna make this business work. I'm gonna make this business work. I was putting all my pressure, all this pressure on myself, all this pressure on her. And it was just a really bad spot that I put myself in, not having clarity and not having, not realizing you can do both.
Yeah.
Like you can work a job and build. If anything, that's a smart way to go about it, you know?
Yeah. I definitely agree. I definitely, if I can go back, I would do the same thing. I'd be like, look, man, go get something that's solid, you know, and be patient and work on your business plan. Right. Something I didn't have when I quit either. I was just like, I'm all in.
I got a Google Doc and a dream, you know, that's it.
It's about to happen. And if you don't respect it, you know, you could find something.
Man, the ego was real too. You don't support me. And if anything, I was so sick in the head, man, like thinking that that was driving me. Okay, she don't believe me. She don't support me. She not supporting me. Okay, watch this. I'm up till 3 in the morning, you know, working on something that's still not gonna make me any money, you know. Damn, man, we went through that. We had a very similar experience too. That ego is real too. Like, you're supposed to support me. Meanwhile, I haven't brought in a dime, you know. She's paying for groceries and covering my half, you know, covering the rent. So it's like, man, those were hard times, but lesson learned, you know, for sure.
Man, I, you know, where would I be, man, if I didn't have a supportive spouse, man? I think that I can definitely say it's like, man, there's so many times where I, you know, wanted to quit. And she'd be like, no, actually, you're on the right track. Like, you should keep going. So, like, I think as men, we could do a better job of reframing, like, and actually having some, like, some, instead of a napkin, like an actual plan. A napkin with some ketchup from the sandwich we ate earlier on it. This is my business plan. We about to make
real.
it, baby. Yeah, so I definitely appreciate you know, coming on and just sharing from the heart, and just being real and sharing your insights, man. I think that people that are listening in are definitely gonna relate and definitely take the time to sit down and, like, think about it. Sit down and actually think about, what are your values? What do you want to do? Who do you want to connect with? Who do you want to have an impact on? Because if they do that, then they'll have an opportunity to, you know, hopefully make an impact like you have and continue to do. So,
Thank you, man.
in closing, is there anything else that you want to pass on to our listeners?
You know, I've been listening to your show for a while, so I think just some of the guests you've had on, I have a general sense of who's listening to this show. So my parting words would just be, wherever you're at in life right now, bet on yourself. Be smart about it, of course, but bet on yourself. Continue to believe in yourself and surround yourself with people who, I don't want to say support you, but surround yourself with people who are on the same path or are in a similar situation so you guys can work together, and definitely find people who can pull you up. But no matter what, if you have something that's been put on your heart or in your mind that you want to see, you know, take root in the world, please continue to pursue it because someone needs that. So coming back to taking your eyes off of yourself, it's not really about you. It's about whatever it is that you're pursuing and how that can impact other people. So just stay focused on that. Keep going. Find people who can support you. Find people who can pull you up. And don't be afraid to do what you need to do so you can do what you have to do so you can do what you really want to do.
I appreciate it.
Sir.
Awesome, brother. Well, thank you for being on. I look forward to catching up again soon.
Likewise, man. Thank you for having me, Keith.
Yeah,
Appreciate
you
you.
too. Take care.